Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio.
On WGR.
Thursday morning here on WGR. Sal Capaccio now on the Wester Hotline. It's Jeremy and Joe here on WGR. Morning, Sal. Did you hear us guessing the legends of the game a little bit earlier on?
I have not heard anything. Is okay. There a fun game we can play?
Perfect. I want to ask you the question that we've been, you know, teasing okay. And going back and forth with a little bit. We don't know the legend of the game yet. We're going to announce it here at 9:45 this morning. But
you don't know either, but you're going to announce it?
We don't know, but we're going to announce it 9:45. Okay. We'll find out before then. We've been given a clue, though, that we've been kind of playing around with. The clue is that I know the highlight you guys are going to play for this player. So we've been kind of taking that as, well, this player has one highlight that stands above the rest. So with that in mind, like, is there someone that comes to mind right away of a bill where there'd be no question that's the highlight you're playing of that guy?
Sam Adams.
That was Jeremy's guess. That's a good one. 2003, right?
I mean, he was a good player, but that's the highlight.
100%. The pick. Yep.
Yes.
And it was a good call. I don't even remember what my guess was at this point. Terrence McGee was up there for me.
But Terrence McGee had he had more than one. Yeah, he had one great return that didn't even get to the end zone. That was a great highlight, but he had others that actually got to the end zone.
Yeah. Josh, remind me, who was I going? Oh, Arthur Motes. Arthur Motes was what I was thinking of because of the Brett Favre hit. And I don't think he's done it. I don't think he's been back for Legend of the Game. And probably he'd be good at it.
I don't think so. And listen, I know that you can go to other places, but Arthur is so entrenched with the Steelers now, too, after going there for and being in their media and everything. You know, I mean, he would, though. He'd be great. He still loves the Bills, obviously, but
that's a good
I know
point.
He's in Pittsburgh media.
That's a good point. The Steelers play the Ravens at 1 o'clock. Is he going to be in Buffalo for that? That's a good point. I didn't even think of that. Sal Capaccio on the Wester Hotline. Bills and Chiefs on Sunday, so a lot to get to, of course, still, Sal. But let's start with the Barnes Firm Injury Report, brought to you by the Barnes Firm. Injured for help, call 1-800-8-MILLION. Twofold, the injuries that we learned about or saw in the report yesterday, and two, is this normal now that they do a walkthrough on Wednesdays, or do they do that throughout the entire season?
It becomes normal late in the year.
Late in the year.
So they did it last year, maybe the year before, like once you get to like December. I think this year it's a little earlier because the bye week is so late that they're trying to kind of navigate through like all the grind of every week. So it does happen every year towards the end of the year. I think this year maybe a little bit earlier than normal because they haven't had their bye week yet.
So of the players that we saw not practicing yesterday, we already know about Coleman not playing this week, so not a surprise there, but how meaningful do you think it is that Spencer Brown and Dalton Kincaid were not on the field?
very meaningful for Dalton Kincaid because the way that Sean McDermott talked about him and Spencer, I mean, he didn't say that either would necessarily play or not play, but he was asked specifically on Spencer if he was hopeful. He said he is. And then Spencer said, it's getting better every day. You know, Dalton, there's no indication. It seems like this is very up in the air. So I think that's the one to kind of monitor this week, along with Amari Cooper as well. Obviously, Dalton played last week. He went out of the game, went back into the game, came back out, didn't finish. But I think that's the one that if you're going to, with a bye week next week, you know, maybe if it's just you err on the side of caution, if that's the case. So I think obviously today would be a big day to see if Dalton Kincaid practices at all.
And for Cooper, I saw a video of him catching from the jugs machine. Do you think that means anything compared to what he's been doing in recent weeks?
I do. He hasn't been doing that in recent weeks. So I think that that's a good sign. And he hasn't been caught catching passes from Josh Allen. Now, when we go out there today, we'll see if that's the case. And if he's catching passes from Josh Allen, too, then I think you're trending in a really good direction here. But just for him to be catching off the jugs machine is a lot better than just taking, you know, lazy catches and balls. And I say that in a way that just a warm up, basically, from coaches as the, you know, pre-practice period, basically.
And how important do you think it is that he plays? I mean, we know the injuries at the position already, but he's only really had the impact in the Tennessee game so far. But it's hard for me to think, Sal, that given Coleman is already out and Samuel hasn't been able to be counted on throughout the year, that against this matchup and this defense, which is a top unit in the league, that it's going to be very hard for them, I think, to throw the football if they, against this defense in particular, if Cooper isn't able to play.
I think it's vitally important. You know, we've seen this receiving corps struggle to get separation, especially against man-to-man defenses. The Chiefs will play more man-to-man defense than a lot of the teams the Bills see. They'll mix it up, but they'll definitely play some of that. Steve Spagnuolo is very, very creative, keeps you on your toes, a lot like Sean McDermott does in a lot of ways. So I think that's number one. Number two, it's just compounded by the fact of Keon Coleman's not playing, Joe. I mean, if Keon Coleman's playing and you get and you don't have Amari Cooper, at least you have another X wide receiver who, in his own way, can get a little bit of separation. You have to have a little bit of, you know, some focus on. But if you don't have both of them, I mean, and then you throw in Dalton Kincaid possibly, holy cow. But if you don't have both of them, then it just allows the Chiefs to focus more in the middle of the field where the Bills want to control and what they want to do underneath. If you have Amari Cooper, you can't do that as much, right? So that allows Khalil Shakir to have maybe a little more space, or Dalton Kincaid, or Dawson Knox, whoever is the tight end, to have a little more space. So I think it's vitally important, you know, to the game plan wise in this game if Amari Cooper can or can't play.
It's probably a tough question because he hasn't played really, Sal, but I'm still trying to figure out like how integral or how involved in the passing game he'll be when he really gets going and hopefully the wrist gets healthy, because We talk about a lot his impact on others, and I do think that that is real. Like, I think his impact on others is super beneficial to the offense. But, man, like, end of last year especially, he was still a receiver that could just go off at any moment for 10, 11 catches, 150-plus yards in a game. And the Bills, I still want to think that that is possible in an offense like this, but the more Shakir has grown, the more that the run game has worked, the running backs, you know, like, I do wonder, you know, what Cooper might average for the Bills when he gets rolling here. Like, I'm doubting that the more I watch this Bills offense that he is primed for some, you know, 150 target pace.
No, I don't think that at all. I think that the Bills' philosophy doesn't change. I don't think they got Amari Cooper in here to replace what basically Stephon Diggs was, you know, as far as target share and things like that. I think they brought Damari Cooper in to do exactly what we just talked about, which is draw coverage away from what they really want to do. It's not a decoy either. I'm not saying that, but he's going to get his share. But I think it's going to be a share just like a lot of other people. It's the everybody eats mantra, whether you want to, you know, snicker at that, or no pun intended with eating Snickers. if you want to snicker at that, or you want to, you know, trust in that, however you want to look at it, I do think it's the philosophy they still want. I think it's the philosophy that they, you know, still want to adhere to regardless of who's on the field. What I think Amari Cooper does, though, is allows them to have another guy who is very experienced, big games, has put up big numbers. You get to a third down and five critical situation, you know, I think that's an extra guy that Josh Allen knows that he can rely on and trust because he's been in those situations before.
And on the other front, 803-0550, by the way, if you got a question for Sal, we'll get it in and we'll do that in a moment. But I wanted to ask you about Kincaid potentially missing, Sal, if he does. Like, what that really could mean, because I don't know. It's just been such a weird year for him where I feel like he has been good, and I know it's not even his fault that he's not putting up big numbers. Joe Marino's pointed out that Allen to Kincaid, it's more uncatchable targets than any quarterback tight end combo in the league this year. So there have just been moments. It's 11, I think, 11 uncatchable targets. So they're just not always on the same page as much as other tight end duos. It, just kind of trying to find his role, and if he's out, you know, maybe also in my head a little bit, Sal, is Knox has made a couple of big plays in recent weeks. He had a big catch last week. He had a big catch against the Seahawks. That I feel like if Kincaid misses, it almost sounds like a criticism of him, but I don't even mean it that way, that I just don't really feel like they're going to be missing a ton.
Yeah, it's a tough one, right? Because it's kind of weird, the juxtaposition here to think about, because even I will tell you, like, I thought Dalton Kincaid was in line for a really monster year, right? But I think the nature of what they want to do on offense, that has lent itself to not being the case. But then you add in the fact that they haven't been on the same page all the time. I agree with that. You know, from field level, I will tell you sometimes, I don't know if it's necessarily even communication. I think a lot of times Josh might be like looking for something late in the down. So he tries to get it to Dalton and it's not there because he's trying to fit something in, you know, as best he can. So I don't think it's necessarily even that they're not communicating around the same page. I think sometimes it's just, hey, that's the guy late in the down. He's the outlet and I'm hurrying things up. So it's just not there. We've seen things real close on the sidelines, things like that, trying to squeeze a ball in, make the perfect pass so that, you know, if anybody can catch, it'll be Dalton, but nobody else, right? Mm-hmm. But the juxtaposition part is, now here comes Dawson Knox, who, and I'm not going to sit here and tell you his contract's great, but we've heard, how many times have we heard a lot of people calling up or tweeting us or whatever about Dawson Knox's contract and why are they paying him that, and, you know, he shouldn't be on the team. Dawson Knox is still a very valuable number two tight end. In a situation like this, if he has to elevate to the number one role, I mean, you feel a lot better with him than you would with a lot of other guys around the league who'd be the number two elevating to the number one. He has made some plays lately. He's also made some plays against the Chiefs, by the way. He's actually had good games if you go back against the Chiefs over the last several years. So, yeah, I mean, I think if they feel that, you know, Dawson Knox has to play that primary role, then, you know, they're comfortable with it. But make no mistake, I mean, having Dalton Kincaid available for a game like this would be far, far better for the Buffalo Bills than not having him available.
Absolutely. I think your Knox, I mean, there are a couple plays that come to mind. There's one where he got behind the defense while Allen was scrambling. He caught the game-winning touchdown in the regular season 2 years ago. And I'm looking right now, I'm buying time. I think, I'm pretty sure, Sal, his best day statistically of his career was against the Chiefs. Three catches, 117 yards, and a touchdown in 21. Like, I feel like that's about as good as he's ever done in a game. But I agree with you. Like,
he's second on the team in yards per catch, by the way.
Right now? Yeah,
he is third behind Ray Davis. Ray Davis is 14.9, but the pass catchers, non-running backs, it's Keon Coleman and then Dawson Knox.
What if I told you before the season that two of the top three Bills players in yards per catch would be Ray Davis and Dawson Knox?
Wow.
Knox in the last three games has 95 yards. He had 47 in the first seven. So, I mean, a lot of that is he had two big plays, but those count, and they've been looking for explosive plays. So, him beating a linebacker up the seam, you know, like, those are plays. That's what's kind of interesting, too, is Knox in the last 3 weeks, those two big catches, have been the types of plays that we've been waiting to see from Kincaid. And Knox hasn't been getting the volume, but he's made a couple of splash plays recently. 803-0550 is the phone number if you got a comment or a question to Sal. I want to get a coordinator question with Sal too, but we'll go to Andrew in Rochester first. What's up, Andrew?
Morning, guys. How are you?
Morning. Good.
Morning. Good.
Sal, the 21-day window opened up for Milano, and the Bills have the bye week next week. Does the team practice during the week, or do they all have off? And how does that affect Milano and his practice, I guess?
It's a good question. They will have off. It's written into the CBA. They have to have a certain amount of days off. I believe it's four or five, something like that. So they'll come back after this game. They'll come back into the facility. Maybe they'll do a walkthrough or something like that. You know, they'll go do injury checks. But I think they have to be, they're allowed to be at the facility until like Wednesday. And then I think they have to give them off, something like that. Either way, to answer your question, though, it counts. All the days count. Doesn't matter if you're on a bye week or a non-bye week. They get 21 days, period. It doesn't matter, you know, what the schedule holds for the Buffalo Bills. So since the transaction was made official yesterday, they have until December 4th. So they can wait even until after the San Francisco game. They have this game. They have a bye week. They have the Niners game. And then they have the Rams. If the Bills wanted to, they could wait until December 4th to activate Matt Milano. And then he would play his first game against the LA Rams. So there's still plenty of ramp-up time here. And my guess is, to be honest with you, people say, well, why would they do that if you have a bye week and he's not going to practice? Well, I think the reason would be you want to get him out at practice, start ramping him up, and then he has a chance to let his body kind of dial back a little bit so they can evaluate where are you at, well, you know, how you feeling, and then what's the practice plan look like the next week as you go forward. And let's remember, too, if you activate Matt Milano, you don't have to play him. He can be active and then be a healthy scratch. There's a lot of ways around this, too, if you don't feel he's quite ready or you don't want to get him those snaps yet. So they have plenty of time. They're going to have until December 4th to activate him, and that isn't even until after the Sunday night game against the 49ers. I wouldn't be surprised, though, if he is active before that game. Like that Saturday at 4 p.m., we see Matt Milano's on the active roster, and he might play on Sunday against the Niners, get some...
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Snaps or whatever.
All right. Thanks, Andrew, for the call. That falls under the umbrella of the Barnes Firm Injury Report, brought to you by the Barnes Firm. Injured for help, call 1-800-8-MILLION. This matchup, Sal, coaching-wise, we talked a little bit about this yesterday. It is... I'm thinking about both coordinators a little bit today, mm-hmm. where this is Joe Brady's third meeting against the Chiefs already. And I think... the first one especially went relatively well. They started changing up the offense right when that happened. We've talked about their game plan in the playoff game. And it's Bobby Babich's first game against the Chiefs. Real quick, actually, on him before we get to Brady. We haven't even really, I think, asked you about that. Like, how do you think that's going? Like, there's no reason to think like there's anything negative, right? Like, Bobby Babich as the play caller defensively is, like, it's kind of hasn't even really come up, I feel like, this season.
I think he's done a tremendous job. He really has. I agree with you. It's not something we've talked about much this year. Remember, you know, last year there was a lot of talk about Ken Dorsey. There was even talk about Sean McDermott calling the plays last year. End of game situations, a few things like that. I think Bobby Babich has done a really good job, and he's definitely showing his worth. And he's proving that he can do this at this level, at a high level.
Right. And I'm wondering, too, like how maybe it won't be too different than what it's been, because I think when McDermott got in there, they started playing coverages and certain things a little bit more aggressive than they had under Leslie Frazier. And I feel like Babich just kind of continued that trend. Not to say that they're like this all-out, you know, Rex Ryan, let's blitz everybody defense. But I do feel like Babich gives a different flavor than what maybe they had a few years ago. And then for Brady, Sal, how do you feel like his offenses have looked in the two previous meetings against the Chiefs, and whether, like, this would be a big test for him, I think, in that Like, can you have a counterpunch? Can you have anything different? Because the Chiefs now have experience of two games going against him, and they're going to have a better idea this go around, and if there's a fourth meeting, of what Brady wants to do against them.
Yeah, it's interesting, right? I mean, I'd have to go back and look at the actual numbers last year, but I mean, they scored enough points to win in the playoff game, Joe, right? I mean, when you think about it that way, they were last year within, let's see, and then what did they do? They scored last year, they were 20-17. They beat the Chiefs.
Yep.
At their place, 20-17 in that game. And then they go to the postseason and they lose 27-24.
And remember,
I mean, they scored 24. So I mean, like, and this is a good Chiefs defense with Steve Spagnuolo. And so I think that you know, points wise, and let's remember, there were plays at the end of the game that just didn't go the Bills' way against the Chiefs in the playoffs.
And remember that first Chief meeting? That was like, was that only Brady's second game, maybe second or third game? And it was maybe our first real look at, like, oh, look how they're using the running back in the pass game. And James Cook had a touchdown in that game that was almost down the field.
That was that opening down the seam play I'm looking at right now, 25-yard pass.
Yes.
It's a great call, by the way, no doubt about that. Let's see. James Cook, 10 carries for 58 yards in that game, 5.8 yards a carry. You know, that's the thing. The Chiefs are very good at stopping the run this year.
Right.
They're highly ranked, right? I mean, like, I know there's a lot of ways you can parse stats. I get that. And, you know, so if you just want to look at the basic numbers, and some people hate doing that, I get it. You know, but if you just look at the basic numbers for the Chiefs this year against the run, they are number two in stopping the run, 3.65 yards per play. And then overall, 82 yards a game. But they're very average against the pass. They've been, teams have thrown on them a little bit. And part of the reason is they're not getting a great pass rush. They're near the bottom of the league in sacks per pass attempt. I think that's one of the keys here. And obviously, that's Chris Jones. If Chris Jones can disrupt you in the interior, that changes the game. If he can't as much and you can do something against him, there's been some opportunity for teams to be able to throw against them.
On the emotion and the meaning of this game, Sal, how do you think the players have sounded this week about that? And about how, I mean, that it's a Chiefs game, but that, well, I guess, I don't know. Like, just in general, how do you think they've sounded about the meaning of this game compared to maybe past Chiefs games?
Well, I mean, like Josh Allen said yesterday, and I've seen the clip going around, and he said it's just another game. It's week 11, like every other game. Now, he knows he's playing the Chiefs. He knows what the history is. The guys who've been on this team know. But, Joe, I will say, truthfully, I think the thing that's always been about a Sean McDermott coach team is kind of the consistency of the week-to-week approach, right? That's what the process is. That's what they preach. And I think they all know in the back of their heads, like, who the Chiefs are, what this game has meant. But they all also know this, which is the season doesn't end regardless of what happens on Sunday, right? Mm-hmm. This is not a playoff game where it's win and go home. Lose and go home or win in advance. It's a big game because it's the Chiefs, but because it's the next game and they're trying to get to their goal. And their first goal is to win the division. And another win would do that. Yes, you'd also cut into the Chiefs. I think it's more about, hey, we got to keep doing what we're doing if we want to achieve our goals, which is win the division, and then everything else is on the table for us, which is possibly one seed, whatever. But you don't get there unless you win another game here. And I think that's kind of the approach that they're taking. I think that this is not just saying this week. I just think that it's generally the way it works, the way that when I've covered this team over the last whatever years, which is they approach every week kind of the same, to be quite honest with you. They don't really change up what they're doing. You don't hear different things coming out, but they understand it's the Super Bowl champions. One thing is it's also a kind of a new team in a lot of ways, right? Yes, there's a lot of guys who've been here. Of course there have been. There's a lot of guys who really haven't been a part of what's gone on over the last several years, maybe last year, but you go back to 13 seconds or the AFC Championship game in 2020. There's a lot of guys on this team that kind of they're new to this, and that doesn't impact them at all as far as what they know about the history of playing this team.
It also this be the last opportunity maybe for them to get the Chiefs here at Highmark Stadium, unless there's a playoff game,
next
of course. Next year it would be here?
Yeah, so the way the schedule rotation works, as long as both teams finish in the same spot in the standings this year, which we think they're both going to win the division, right?
Yep.
Then next year, the AFC West team...
Comes here,
yes.
Okay, gotcha. So there would be one more opportunity anyways, but...
Right, so remember when so many people kept saying, I can't believe why do the Bills go to the Chiefs all the time, right? And I wrote an article about a couple of years ago and said, well, that's going to flip soon.
Right.
Because the way the schedule rotation works, the West is going to come to the East. Well, here we are. It's this year. And then again, it's next year again.
Yeah. Man, these two teams, I mean, they're just going to live in each other's hair forever. I mean, if they keep winning their divisions. They've won, I mean, the Chiefs have won, what, 8 in a row? And this would be, what is this going to be for the Bills? 5? 5 in a row if they win this year, which everyone thinks they're going to?
6. They've won 5. The Bills were 3-2. They're now 8-2.
It's why they keep, it's amazing. There are a lot of stats on this week, that these two teams are playing twice a week, or twice a year. I mean, as much as any non-division opponents going back. I think Brady and Manning are the only other two, like, that Colts-Patriots rivalry was the only other time that happened in, like, 30 years. So, there have been a lot of them. All right, Sal. Bills and Chiefs practice a little bit later on today. Who do we hear from today? McDermott again?
No McDermott today. We don't hear from... Thursday's a non-media day other than after practice for some players.
Okay.
So, you know, you'll get podium stuff today. And then we'll hear from Sean McDermott tomorrow, of course, on the Extra Point Show. I'm thinking it'll be 10:45 a.m., so he'll give us the, you know, anybody who's rolled out at that time, we'll find out tomorrow. But practice today at 12:30 p.m. will be our first time to see Matt Milano back on the practice field as a media to get some video and pictures, too.
Right. And his knee, too, is the other thing to watch, right? Like, he still has... I know it's been longer, but he hasn't...
The leg.
Excuse me. Thank you.
Yeah.
It would be his first time coming back on the leg, playing on the leg, too. So I remember saying
but remember, he did practice in training camp.
Right. I remember saying that, though, like, or thinking that when he did hurt his bicep, that, like, maybe this could be, you know, a good thing
blessing
for the leg.
Blessing in disguise. It sounds weird to say that, right? Doesn't it?
Right.
I know. I've said the same thing, Joe, which it sounds weird to say, but. You know, the silver lining is here. They've gone 8-2 without Matt Milano, and he's had another 3 months to let his leg recover.
Right. Thank you, Sal.
I think we're going to have some interesting discussions when he does come back, what people think about that position. And I've heard from a lot of people who believe that he just won't be the same player, you know, like on, you know, fans. And that's possible. He's 30 years old. I mean, it is possible that he's not the same player. And does Dorian Williams maintain that job? I don't think so. I think Matt Milano becomes your starter immediately. And I think he'll show that he's still a very, very good football player.
And listen, the way last season ended, you're not going to hear me complaining about them having too many starting caliber linebackers, personally.
Yeah, exactly.
Thanks, Sal.
You got it.
Sal Capaccio on the Wester Hotline. Practice today, 12:30, as he mentioned. You got the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show coming up at 10 o'clock. 803-0550 is the phone number. If you've got a guess on the legend of the game, again, our clue for today is there's a highlight that stands above the rest. They know what highlight we're going to play. So, to me, that means there's one highlight that does stand above the rest. More on the coaching matchup in this game. Joe Brady against the Chiefs for a third time. Kind of weird to hear that, right? Like, that this is already his third chance at getting the Chiefs. It's not even been, I don't even think, a calendar year. Maybe it's just been a calendar year since he's been their offensive coordinator. 803-0550 is the phone number. It's Jeremy and Joe. Scott Pianowski, some fantasy talk coming up at 9 as well here on WGR.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.